Good morning, everybody. Pastor Mike here with another Watchman Pure Bible Study. Revelation chapter 12. I like it. I like it already. Revelation 12, 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He's lied to everybody. He lied to you. Okay? And he, false doctrines, where do they come from? They come from the devil. False doctrines, seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. They're wrong is what they, how we know they're wrong. Match it up to the scripture. Scripture, thy word is truth. God never tells a lie. God is not a man that he should lie. So anytime you have a question, somebody says, oh, we have to go back and keep the law. Wait a minute. Where'd that doctrine come from? Go to the unaltered, untampered with scriptures. That's where the truth is. So he is a liar. He deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. His angels, the devil's angels, like it's a motorcycle gang. They're hell's angels, and they wear, helmets with spikes on them and stuff like that, all right? And get your motor running. That's who they are. Think about where hell's angels come from. Right here. I knew a lady who used to be a hell's angel. She was a bar bouncer, a woman. She was a bar bouncer and a former hell's angel. God saved her, okay? She used to live in this area. I knew her when I was a child. Anyway, his angels. Think about what that means. The Greek word, and I don't get much into it. I don't use the Greek to tamper with or to alter the King James Bible. But it is interesting because the word angelos, the Bible was originally written in Greek. The word angelos means like a messenger or someone who brings news or brings tidings. Think of the scriptural ideas of that. What did the angels do when they met with the shepherds? Behold, we bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. That's what the word gospel means. It means good tidings. Who brings the good tidings? These messengers do, or these angels. What are preachers? What are witnesses? Human witnesses. We are messengers of the gospel. We bring good tidings to people. We preach the gospel. And I want you to think of this word gospel, because we're going to see it here in a little bit. But his angels, the devil's angels, are messengers as well. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, the Bible says, remember what Paul said, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me. So here we have his angels, his messengers. We could look in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light, a messenger of light, or someone who bears the light. That's what the word Lucifer means. The King James translators got it right when they translated the word halal, which is the Hebrew for it. It simply means shining. That's all it means. Doesn't mean morning star. Doesn't mean shine day star. Doesn't mean that. It means shining. The translators, by inspiration, matching scripture with scripture, Satan is a messenger of light, and that's what Lucifer means, a bearer of light. So we have these messenger angels that belong to the devil. If God's angels bring good tidings, they bring bad ones. They're the ones who are inspiring the false doctrines. All right, that's where they come from, doctrines of devils. But anyway, and I like this, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And remember what thorns are. Paul had one in his flesh, and he said he had a messenger of Satan buffeting him, pounding him, trying to destroy him. And one day he got tired of it. God, I hate this. Take this out of me. For this saying I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Think of things that are in threes in the Bible. Of course, you have the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. You have three witnesses in the Bible. You have 3 days of resurrection and so on. But you also have lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And so we know what thorns represent. Thorns represent in the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 3. Thorns represent the curse of sin. God told Adam, yeah, you're going to yield some fruit there in the field, but some thorns are going to come up as well. And that's what the devil was doing. He was sowing those seeds. But anyway, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And I want you to remember that too, because we're going to see it again. So we have his angels, and they're cast out with him. In verse 10, and I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now is come, number one, let's count, salvation, number two, strength, number three, the kingdom of our God, and number four, the power of his Christ. Christ, his anointed, Messiah is what it is in Hebrew. It's Christos in Greek, Christ to us. Don't worry about saying it wrong, all right? It's the same guy. He's the Christ, the Son of the living God. Notice there are four things here. I like this. When you count, you see the order and the rhythm and the cadence of God, the pattern of God. God is known by the fact that he is in order in everything that he does and everything that he says. And so now has come, number one, salvation. Think about the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Think about the four winds that Ezekiel was told to prophesy so that they could blow breath into the dead body of Israel. Think about that. There are people who are saying, I can't believe this, coming out of Bible believers, who are saying Israel's going to be saved with works. No, they're not. They're going to be saved by grace, exactly the way you and I are saved. There's one gospel, people. One. And so as Ezekiel prophesies to the four winds, you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You have the gospel of Jesus Christ and his spirit being breathed into them. And now they're alive. And so you have, number one, salvation. Number two, strength. Think of what Paul was talking about here. He's weak here because of the messenger of Satan. He's weak in his flesh. And God said, Paul, I got it. Because, oh man, I love this. God said, where you're weak, I am made strong. So Paul said, God said, for my strength is made perfect in weakness, most gladly, therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And again, people, I say this a lot, but I want you to think about this. Don't go around telling everybody what you don't do anymore. Don't go around telling everybody what you do anymore. Tell people what Christ has done and what God is still doing in you. That's the testimony of a Christian. Not gloating and bragging about how, well, we don't watch TV anymore. We don't do this. We don't do that. All of that is, if you don't do that, praise the Lord. All of that is by the grace of Almighty God in you. What God is doing in you. Glory in your infirmities in that God is made strong in your weakness. But now there's going to come a time when we will not be weak. Remember 1 Corinthians 15. It is sown in weakness. Talking about the body. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. So we have the resurrection. We have salvation. We have strength. Number three, we have the kingdom of our God. Now is come the kingdom of our God. Right here, remember, the baby has been born, the man-child who's going to rule all nations with a rod of iron. The man-child has been born, the deceiver has been cast out, and so now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God. Remember, look at those passages in the Bible where it talks about the gospel of this kingdom, the gospel, Matthew 24. The gospel of this kingdom shall be preached unto all nations, and then shall the end come. I see a connection here. The kingdom of our God, and by the way, some people are saying now the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of salvation by grace are two different things. Now has come salvation and strength, the kingdom of our God, and the power of, not of his people, his Christ. Now that the man-child has been born and he has this body, this new body, now we have the power of his Christ. Four things here. It's the culmination of what the four Gospels are all about. It is, and the number four shows you, it is a spiritual kingdom. It is 1, 2, 3, 4. It is far above principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. So the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. No more. God's not going to listen to him anymore. He's not going to accuse us anymore. It's not in the presence of God anymore. In verse 11, I like this. Notice in the preceding verse, the accuser of our brethren. All right? Now, this is a loud voice saying in heaven. Okay? We're not really told who the voice is. It may be the angels. It may be Christ himself. But it says probably angels because of plural here. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they, watch this now, they, I believe, refers to the our brethren. How did our brethren, who was being accused constantly by the devil, how did they overcome that? How is it? And think about all the things that the devil would be accusing you of. Think about all those things. What would he be accusing you of? Things you'd done? Because he knew it. How does he know it? Well, he was there and he talked you into it. He's going, come on, you can do that, all right? And so he goes and accuses us. But now he's cast down. How do we overcome what he's accused us of? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. We're going to examine these. And they love not their lives unto the death. Three things here. Blood of the Lamb, word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto the death. Now I'm probably just going to deal with the blood issue today. But I want you to think about this. They love not their lives unto the death. Okay? Bring it on. God has blessed me here. I have a wonderful wife. I have great children. Not perfect. Mm-mm. Don't come to Festus, Missouri looking for the perfect people. They're not here. But I have good people here. People who love the Lord. And we have fellowship with this book. God has blessed me with a nice little house. It's paid for. Okay? It's not the Taj Mahal, but it's paid for. I have plenty to eat. I have clothes to wear. I'm blessed. I like to go deer hunting. Okay? Enjoy the woods. Enjoy things of this world. But I hate this body. I hate it. And you give me a choice today. Mike, you want to go to heaven? You want to stay down here? I'm like Paul. Go to heaven. Have my thorns removed. Stay here and preach. If I stayed here, it wouldn't be because I like it down here. It's not that. I want to preach the gospel. Learn how to hate yourself. Joyce Myers says, in order for you to correctly love your neighbor, you have to learn to love yourself first. That's a trap and a setup, Joyce. They love not their lives unto the death. God's real people are saying, God, get me out of here. Don't give me my best life now. It'll be gone away. I want out of here. In your time and in your way, I want out of here. And so that's how they overcame him. But let's go back to the blood of the Lamb. Notice the capital L in your King James Bible. We know who that is. Revelation chapter 5, that was the Lamb, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So let's examine the blood of the Lamb very quickly. We're going to go back to Exodus 24, verse 6. We're going to see the blood of the Old Covenant. Exodus 24, 6. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant. Okay? The book of the covenant, and read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has said will we do. So here we have a blood covenant. We have a covenant, God, which is the Sinai covenant, and the people said, yeah, give us them laws. We can do that. Okay? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt, whatever. All, honor thy father and thy mother. All these commandments. And they said, yeah, okay, we'll do it. Yeah, whatever. And so they didn't do it. They broke the even, and it was a blood covenant. But what blood was it? Was it the blood of Christ? Was it everlasting blood? No. It was temporal blood from a beast. That blood doesn't last. It doesn't linger. It wears off. It's as corruptible as everything else is on this earth. So when you look at the old covenant, in light of that, that it was sealed with blood, but it was not sealed with divine blood. It was sealed with the blood of temporal things. That showing, and they had a temporal house, a tent. They put it up, take it back down. Put it up, take it back down. It was temporary. Everything back here was intended to be temporary. Even Hebrews teaches they found no certain country or something like that. They never found the real promised land. So all these people telling you, oh no, God's in all the law back here. Got to go back and keep the law if you'll make God happy. We make God happy because we keep like 12 out of 187 laws. That's what we do. And God's happier with us than he is with you. It's a lie, people. It's a setup. It's that blood and the sealing of that covenant was as temporary as the first sin they committed after. That's how it was. Anyway, all that the Lord has said we will do and be obedient. And Moses lying through their teeth. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. He took the blood. He sprinkled the people. Now you're covered in blood. He sprinkled the book. Now it's covered in blood. The book represents the contract. And that contract was given by consent of God and consent of the people. I do not for a second believe that our salvation is non-consensual. I don't believe that. And the Bible doesn't teach that. Doesn't say that. They, when upon entering into an agreement with God, that agreement was consensual. They signed it. Israel. And then it was sealed by blood. But that blood was temporal and it didn't last. The blood, how we overcome the accuser, the dragon, the serpent, his angels, how we overcome him is by the blood, not of bulls and goats. And I'm telling you, quit buying into and believing and telling other people that God is going to save Israel by a restoration of temple sacrifices of little animals. It's a lie. It's not true. All right? God offered his only begotten son in his blood of an everlasting covenant, and yet you're saying that God's going to go backwards and save Israel with a temporary blood sacrifice again. No way, Jose. Not going to happen. By the way, that doesn't just apply to people out there named Jose. All right? But this is how we overcome. We overcome with the everlasting, pure blood of God himself. It's the blood of the Lamb. That's how we can do it. Now, let's shed some New Testament light on the Old Testament prophecy. Hebrews 9:18. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool. Think of it, though your sins be as scarlet, they should be white as snow, they'll be red like crimson, they should be as wool. And hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Enjoin They joined with God into an agreement. It's simple contract law, people. It's very, very simple. I'm buying a car from you for $500. Sign it. So both people sign it, and the deal's done. Now there's evidence. There's proof. Now this guy has to give you the car. You have to give him $500. That's how it works. Simple contract. He enjoined. Let's see. Well, I lost my place here. God hath enjoined unto you, verse 21, moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Think about it. For someone to say that blood is not sufficient or necessary in your salvation, they are a liar. And the truth is not in... I don't know why people would say that, but there people do. John MacArthur does. A former pastor of Bethel Church. Pastor this church when I first got here. Years and years and years and years and years ago. I thought he was square on, man. He now believes that the blood is nothing. It's a lie. It's not true. Anyway, tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. This is how we get our sins knocked off of us. This is how we overcome. By the blood of the Lamb. My, my, my. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Better ones. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true. No, I do not believe, I do not believe that the Ark of the Covenant in Moses' tabernacle is under Gordon's Calvary in a cave somewhere, and Christ's blood dripped down on it. I don't believe that. I don't believe it. That earthly ark was for goat blood only. Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true. I don't believe it anymore. I used to. I fell for it. Okay. I went looking for evidence in the scripture, and what I found is evidence to the contrary, that Christ's blood was reserved for the ark of the testimony in heaven, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. I like that phrase, for us. Study that in the Bible. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. Roman Catholic priests are an abomination to God. They're re-sacrificing, making him a perpetual dying God. Think about that. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the... See, notice that it says, now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, that sentence is not done. We use that a lot. Well, you believe the people running around after they're dying? No, as appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. That sentence was not done. Read the next verse. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And here it is right here. Now is come salvation. How do they overcome him? By the blood of the Lamb. And Hebrews 9 joins both of those ideas together. The appearing of the Lord, he's coming to us without sin unto salvation. Beautiful. Love it. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 12. Let's look at this idea of blood, all right? Then Moses called to Exodus 12:21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. This is the power of the blood. Don't deny the blood. Don't deny it. It's powerful. The blood of the Lamb is powerful. The blood of the Lamb is what the devil doesn't like. Think about, as we look at this Passover story, think about animals. Okay, have you ever seen an animal, like a dog or a cat or something like that, not go into a certain place? You ever look at that? You know, come on, come on, the dog ain't wanting to go. Okay? you know, some say, maybe there's an angel there or something like that. I don't know. But there's something about certain places, dogs and cats and whatever, birds, they're not going in there. I'm not going in there. They don't do it. You can't hardly make them do it. They'll fight you and everything else. They don't want to go in there. So think about the devil now. He's a dragon. He's a beast. All right? So think about that when you see the Passover story. They're going to kill the Passover. Verse 22, and you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. Think of the door, and I saw this in Jack Chick's comics one time. The blood on the top and on the doorpost kind of makes a cross. You know, that could be. I like it. Verse 23, for the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer or allow, that's what the word suffer means, the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. You shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when you be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the house of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshipped. And what basically what it is, God released a very evil, nasty, bad angel called the Destroyer. And the Destroyer, every house that didn't have the blood on the door, the Destroyer went in that house and killed every firstborn child. When he got to the land of Goshen, he got to the houses of the Israelites. They had done according to what God said. The blood was there, and the beast sees the blood. He says, I ain't going in there. It's got blood on it. I don't like it. So he goes away. And as long as they remained in the house, under the protection of the blood, the accuser of the brethren had no power over them whatsoever. I do not believe Christians get possessed with the devil or devils. It is unbiblical. Once the blood has been applied to a believer, the devil cannot go in that house. He can holler outside, hey, come out here for a minute. Me? Yeah, come on out here. Come on out here. Come on. Can't do it. Okay? So I don't believe that Christians, believers under the blood, can be possessed with devils. Charismatics use that as a setup doctrine to make you think that these people, these rulers over you or whatever, have power over you because they have to cast the devils out. And the fact that you were sleeping with some other guy's wife or something like that, they would say, oh, you got devils in. We cast some devils out. You'll never do that ever again. It's a lie. It's a setup. All right? Don't fall for it. Anyway, that's the power of the blood. Romans 3:25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Faith in what? His blood. I don't like to take people and just say they're not Christians, they're not saved, blah, blah, blah. Okay? Some, you look at the fruit of their doings and you say it is clearly heretical what they're teaching. I'm just telling you, if someone says it's not the blood, come on, that's silly. That's a misinterpretation of the original Greek. If someone tells you you don't have to trust in the blood, look at this. Romans 3:25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. People, don't deny the blood. And when, if you've got people that you're listening to that deny the blood, run away from them. They're dangerous. And you know what I've seen people? They've defended guys like John MacArthur and others. Oh, John, he's a good guy. You know, he preaches the Bible, and all he says is, and he says that, and yeah, well, you know, he denies the blood, but you know, he's right on that. They're defending him against the Scriptures. You don't mock the blood. You don't deny the blood. You need to trust and have faith in the blood. The blood. Not faith in yourself, not trust in your own confidence, in your own, I can do this. No. Only by the blood. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. It's by his blood. His blood was shed and poured out. And now his blood sits as an eternal reminder on the mercy seat of Almighty God. Now that God sees the blood, and God is satisfied, and the destroyer cannot come in. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. See how they're locked together? So watch this. Here's the accuser of the brethren, and he's saying, Mike Hogger did this, Mike Hogger did that, Mike Hogger, see, it's written down. Mike Hogger did this, he said this, he thought this, he heard this, he listened to this, he liked this, but God, through the blood of his son, forgave those sins. I love it. Ephesians 2:12. Let me just say this. The only way that you can get around the doctrine of the blood atonement and the blood redemption and faith in the blood and all this stuff, the only way that you can get around that and the Scriptures, King James Bible, is to retranslate or reduce the words of the King James down by saying, in ancient times, blood was a metonym. This is what they say. A metonym or a symbol for death. So when someone said blood, it didn't really mean blood. It meant death. Now, you show me in 1,189 chapters where it says that. It doesn't say it. It's a lie. They're applying unbiblical rules to biblical doctrines. You cannot just read the King James Bible and come out with a doctrine that says, I don't believe it's the blood, I believe it's the death. You'll never get that. What you have to do is you have to have in your mindset that this Bible, at its base, at its plain appearance, is wrong. And that you're smarter than these apostles, and you're going to correct it for them. How dare you do that? Ephesians 2:12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. It's plain and simple. Colossians 1:13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom. Think about what Revelation was talking about. We have salvation, strength, the kingdom. How did we get there? How do we get the kingdom? By the blood of the Lamb. Same thing is said here. He has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Even the forgiveness of sins. That's two witnesses there. The blood, Ephesians 1:7, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Colossians 1, 13 or 1:14, redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Two witnesses. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Oh, I love that. Here's God, holy God. Here is wicked mankind, evil in his thoughts and in his doings. And Christ comes because he's a peacemaker. And he reconciles man. He doesn't reconcile God to man. He reconciles man to God. Now they're reconciled. How? Through the blood. What does the blood do? The blood was applied to the book of sins, and they're covered. By him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say whether they things on earth or whatever. Let me go down to verse 22. In the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, I believe, according to Scripture, that, see, back up here it said through faith in his blood. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope, the gospel, which ye have heard and which was preached, every creature was unto heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. I believe that true biblical salvation is a continuance in faith. That's what the Scriptures say. Hebrews 13:12, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. A city that was sanctified, and us who were sanctified with his own blood. And I'm being told that Hebrews is written only for Israel. And yet, the doctrines of Hebrews matches the doctrines of Colossians, Ephesians, Romans. They're all saying the same thing. So how can they be... Yeah, I know it says Hebrews. I know James is written to the 12 tribes. I get it. But it says the doctrines here match the doctrines elsewhere, all through the Scriptures. The Old Testament types showed a redemption through blood, not works. The New Testament doctrines show a redemption and the forgiveness of sins by the blood. But others believe that it's done by works. That is wrong. Hebrews doesn't teach that. Colossians doesn't teach it. Ephesians doesn't teach it. Romans doesn't teach it. Hebrews 13:20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. You see that there? If you compare Hebrews 13 with Exodus 24, you have in Exodus 24 temporary corrupt blood that is a seal or a token of a temporary covenant. That's what it's a seal of. And the blood is gone. The covenant is no more. We are not under that covenant whereby we say, if I perform all of these laws, then God will give me life. We're not under that. I'm not saying I don't have to. I'm saying we don't do. None of us do. You who say, well, I keep the Sabbath, you don't keep the law against adultery or the law against covetousness. You don't do that. So James said, if a man offends the law in one point, he is guilty of all. And so we are not saved, nor given life, nor given righteousness. No one is ever given life by a covenant that was sealed with goat blood. No one was ever given eternal life that way. Never happened. It's through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Christ's blood. The book of Acts. You know, I had this in my mind, and I forgot to put it in my notes. In the book of Acts, I'll be blessed if I just land right on it. Paul was warning about sheep, wolves coming in, and he talks about that God made us overseers of the church, which God hath purchased with his own blood. Because MacArthur and others say God's, it's not divine blood. It was just merely human blood because Jesus was a human. But Paul said it was God with his own blood. And you know how they get around that? You're going to like this. In a careful examination of the original Greek structure of that verse, lends to the idea that what should have been said, or what is implied in the original Greek, is that it is the blood. It does not literally say God through with his own blood. It should rather read God with the blood of his own son. See how they did it? Even though it's not there, it's not in English, it's not in the Greek, they added to the word of God to make their doctrine right. You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to add to, and you're not supposed to take away from either. Both are bad. Don't do it. That's how they do it, though. So it's the blood of the everlasting covenant. It is God with his own blood. Everlasting blood. It's incorruptible blood. You know how blood, once it comes out, what does it do? It corrupts. It's not, you can't put scabs back in your bloodstream and make them work. They're dead. All the blood cells are dead, and the blood coagulates. All right? Anyway, make it through the blood of the everlasting covenant, Hebrews 13:21, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. See, when you have this is Adeline, my little grandbaby, granddaughter. When you have faith, faith holds works. Works do not produce faith. And the salvation of us is by the blood, by his grace, through faith. And so I love how the Bible puts it. And some people get it backwards. They say, well, you got to have works. See, works. Works, but you know, the book of James talks about works. Faith without works is dead. I agree with that. I absolutely agree with that. But faith produces the works. Look at this verse. It's the blood that makes, this is Hebrews 13:20-21. It's the blood that makes us perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. What is it actually that's working in us? The blood of the everlasting covenant. That's what's working and producing. This is what has me do what I'm doing here, or the Watchman broadcast, or any preaching the gospel, or just meditating and thinking on God's word and praying to God. All of those good works that I perform is actually Christ in me making me perfect unto every good work to do his will. And that's how it is. That's how it is for us. That's how it is for any Jew or Israelite that has gotten saved or will get saved. It's God working through us because we have faith. And what James was saying there is, if you show me your faith without your works, I'll show you my faith by my works. Because someone who says, oh yeah, I believe in God and Jesus Christ and I'm a Christian, and yet their works deny that. They're lying through their teeth. They don't really believe that. They don't really believe. That's what he was telling us. So anyway, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. 1 Peter 1:2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. See, there it is right there. The doctrines of the blood in 1 Peter and Hebrews match Colossians, Ephesians, Romans, and everywhere else in the Bible. They're not different books for different people and have different gospels in them. They're not. One gospel. It is the gospel of faith in the blood, faith in the word, trust in God that brings the kingdom of God. This is how we overcome him, by the blood of the Lamb. So read Peter again. Elect. How are we elect? According to the foreknowledge of God. God knew it. Through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. You match that with back in Hebrews 13, it's the blood of the everlasting covenant that makes us perfect unto every good work to do his will. Here you see through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. No mention of work salvation here. No mention of it. 1 Peter 1:18, for as much, I like this one now, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. We were not redeemed with corruptible things. We were redeemed with incorruptible and precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in these last times for you. 1 John 1, verse 6. Let me give you a little testimony here. We're going to close with this. I don't know absolutely how true this is, but I think it matches with the Scripture, because this is how the saints overcome the devil and his angels. They overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. I had an old buddy of mine in Bible college. His parents were missionaries in a third world country, Brazil. Okay, third world countries, and they're good people, but they got a lot of satanic activity, a lot of devils, a lot of people possessed with devils. And they would show up at this missionary's church. And sometimes they'd try to come in the service, or sometimes somebody'd say, hey, come, you know, my cousin's got a devil. So they would, you know, sometimes people are just crazy, all right? And it's not possession by a devil. So they had to try to discern if this person was really possessed with a devil or not. And they had some tests that they gave, okay? It wasn't math tests, wasn't geography, wasn't anything like that. It was, here's what they did. Let me read the scripture, 1 John 1:6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he, Christ, is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. It's the blood, people. The blood. Now, I'm going to tell you, and then it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now I'm going to go back to this blood issue. Number one, my friend told me, he said, what we'd do is we'd take a Bible, we'd give it to him, we would show them 1 John 1:7. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. He said, Mike, he said, that was one of the tests that we gave them, if we'd ask them to read that. And he said, I saw it. If they were possessed by a devil, the devil would say, what? I don't see anything. They wouldn't see it, or they couldn't read it, or they would skip over the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. They would skip over that and not see it there, or they would just throw a big fit, okay? And they will not say, they don't like the blood. It's just like the destroyer going through, seeing the blood, going, I'm not going in there. They don't like the blood. They can't handle the blood. It makes them leave. The blood is that powerful. Devils cannot resist the blood of Christ. Okay? So, and I'm not saying go around and ask, hey, read this. Okay? I'm not saying you do that. That's what was testified to me by a friend of mine. I will say, based upon Scripture, this is how we overcame those devils. By the blood. And they don't like it. So, I love it. How does one who enters into the kingdom of God, how do we overcome the wicked one? By the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Don't forget that very important doctrine. Don't let anybody con you into believing something else. And when they start in, listen to how they do it. They're either going to retranslate, they're going to diminish the words of the Bible by saying it doesn't really mean that. Or they're going to say that, they're going to take that out and say that's not part of salvation. It's the same. You and I are under a contract with God, a consensual contract. God's part is give us eternal life. He doesn't require works. He doesn't require sinlessness. He doesn't require money. He doesn't require perfection from us. He gives those things, but he doesn't require them from us. What does he require from us? What is our part of the covenant? Do you believe? Will you continue in the faith? That's our part of the contract that was sprinkled with the blood of the Lamb himself. And we sprinkled and covered with that blood as well. That's the covenant. That's the contract. It's the blood of the everlasting contract. A lot of stuff here. Study the blood on your own. Go back and study all 200, 300 places in the Bible where it mentions blood and get a greater understanding of the idea of blood. The life is in the blood. We're not to eat things with blood in it and so on. A lot of things there, and God will show you great and mighty things that you know not. This is Pastor Mike. God bless you. I love you. We'll see you next time.